Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Talked about it yesterday, but the big return of Kevin Durant. And what a return it was.
You were sweating it. You thought there was something wrong with him because he didn't play.
He didn't play the first 16 minutes almost.
He didn't start. Oh, he still hasn't played. Right. And then all of a sudden he came out and he looked like a house on fire.
I think he should have started. But it's not a big deal. But remember Allen Iverson used to make a big deal out of that. Come back from injury. I should start. And he played great, Rob. 17 points in 19 minutes.
Didn't miss a shot.
Nothing. Rob, 17 points on 5 shots. Think about that.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. He had a 118 118 true field goal percentage. 118. That is like 60 and above is really good. The leader this year is 73% true field goal percentage. And that, you know, a lot of that's based on free throws and 3-point shots. But 118? Think about Rob. If he went 5 for 5 from 3, he wouldn't have had 17 points.
Right.
So that's how good he was. And, Rob, in the 19 minutes he was on the court, I don't know if you saw these numbers, their offensive rating was 143.
It was so easy when he was out there because you had to respect him. He was making passes to people, Chris. I know he had 7 rebounds. He wasn't tentative.
5 dimes.
He had 6 turnovers. The only thing is he had a couple times where he passed the ball, was deflected for a turnover. All right. He was a little sloppy with the basketball, but I watched his entire stretch once he came in the game, and I thought he looked spectacular. I thought if you're one of the other teams in the East or the Lakers or the Clippers or anybody would hope, you're looking at him saying, if this guy's healthy and they get Harden back, I don't know. I mean, he looked great. I don't know what else to say. He looked
great.
Rob,
if everybody's healthy – Durant, Harden, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid. If everybody's healthy, there's still only one team that can beat the Nets.
The Nets.
The Nets. That's it. It's going to have to be some type of implosion. Kyrie's in the wrong state of mind. DeAndre Jordan's upset about his minutes. Durant wants to, you know, buck the system and start scoring too much or shooting too much. Or just lack of familiarity, which we don't think will be a problem. Those are the only, basketball-wise, they're going to roll. They're going to roll.
We saw Blake Griffin last night too, Chris. I mean, how did he look to you in the
great
15 minutes he played? I mean,
had a nice dunk. He's looking good, and so is Aldridge. Aldridge had 22 points because, Rob, they're... First, they look relieved that they don't have to carry the team.
Right.
You know, which they both have done.
I totally agree with that. It's a big difference between you're the big dog and now all I got to do is just go out and play and put up my numbers. We're going to win. Those guys over there will make sure we win. And all I got to do is do my part and come out. That's it.
Right. Easy. And look, they were good. They were really good lead men. They weren't good enough to lead you to a championship. But they were legit. I mean, they were, you know, perennial all-stars, so nothing away from them. But now, you know, with, as you said, the 3 guys drawing so much attention, even if it's just 2 of them, it's going to be fun and easy for those guys, as well as the other role players. But, Rob, KD, we know he has his podcast, and he had his Draymond Green, his buddy, still buddies after the big blow-up in Golden State a couple years ago.
He wouldn't be on my podcast. Oh, I'm sorry.
Would you be like it's over, like we just ain't cool no more? That'd be like, say, me and you had that situation. Not to put it out there like that, but, you know. Would you be done with that guy?
It would. There are situations and circumstances that you would be done. It would have to be. In that case, I don't know. I just thought Draymond, that was extreme to do that, like, and do
the
it publicly.
B-word.
Yeah, but right. It publicly, too. Like, we didn't have, right. like, a, you know what I mean? Like, I thought that was extreme.
He said that to LeBron, too, in the finals. And obviously, they're cool.
Yeah. I guess everybody's different. I don't know. It would have to be, I'd have to really feel like somebody really was trying to do something against me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it would have to be like that.
But anyway, they talked about, you know, there's this myth, this urban legend out there that after they lost to LeBron and dropped the 3-1 lead to lose the finals in 2016.
You mean when Steph led the choke? Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, but whatever. few weeks after Durant led the choke. After Durant led the choke in the conference finals. But anyway... Draymond, in tears, called KD from his car in the parking lot. That's the myth. Draymond and KD said it really wasn't like that. Here they are on KD's podcast.
From my end, we sent some texts on some just, yo, I seen that. You seen that? I bet. That's really what it was, bro.
That's exactly what it was.
And like, it wasn't like no urgent FaceTime call. Like, it was just like exactly what I just said. Like, yo, you seen what just happened? Bet. All right, I'm on the way.
Wow. I'm on the way.
But even that's the frustration of listening to players talk to other players. That's just my public service.
You're saying that could be a little fudging of the truth?
Chris.
It don't make KD look bad if Draymond was crying. It's actually a little better.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, and then they don't really say it. You know, it's always like whenever you listen to guys talk, it's always like it kind of inside. They know what they're talking about, and they really don't come out and say it. I just say it. That's the frustrating part. Because he didn't say really what happened.
Right.
Well, you see that? And I just said, all right, you see that? All right, I'll be there. I'm on my way. Right. What's that mean?
A reporter would have been like, so Draymond, you weren't crying.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, okay, because that's what's out there, that you were crying.
That you were crying and you called him from the parking lot and you had Kleenex in one hand and your phone in the other. You know, is that what went on? Paint the scene for me. You know what I mean? Like, I would...
And KD was acting like at that moment it was a done deal, wasn't
right.
it? Because why'd you go through all these meetings with the Clippers and all these other teams if it was it done at that moment? Did you know? You're right.
It just seemed like a.
That's
like
why you need reporters, y'all.
Yep.
That's just
I'm
letting
serious.
You know. Yep. That's why you need reporters. You got a much bigger, fuller picture of this. But let's throw this. I want to throw this out, Rob, because Durant still. And we heard it from none other than the great Walt Frazier, but there's others that have this mental or imaginary asterisk by his two championships. A lot of people felt like, Rob, when he went to Brooklyn, it was to prove, okay, I can do it without this super stacked squad. And they feel like, well, now, heck, that's out the window. I want to throw this at you first. Is Kevin Durant better off having gone to Golden State, forget Brian in Brooklyn if they went to, like, is he better off that he made that move or would he have been better staying in OKC?
I don't know. If they would have won, if they won in OKC, then it would have been, to me, even bigger. Whenever you start something and you can complete it without going to get help, I just think it looks better. It doesn't mean that. And then the other thing that helped him is that he was the finals MVP both years. So it wasn't like, you know, he went to the Warriors. It was Steph's team. Steph won the next two. It was all about Steph, and he was the side piece. I think it helped that he was the MVP in the finals just for that, for him himself. But I think if he would have stayed in OKC and delivered a championship to that franchise – after being, you know, drafted with Seattle and then the moving to OKC, I just think it's a better story. That's all. There is no question.
I do agree with you. Now, we don't know if he would have won. right? We have no
idea. I'm saying if he would have won, that story's better.
Had he stayed there and won one, because he only won two. I mean, that's I don't want to say it like to diminish two.
Well,
but
two out
he
of
didn't
three
win
years.
Three.
Right,
there's
right.
a big difference between a three-peat, which has only been done, Rob, three times since Bill Russell, twice by Jordan and once by Shaq and Kobe. So had the Warriors three-peated, that's to me, that would have been more valuable than one championship in OKC. But I'll give you that one in OKC, small market, new market, you know, moving from Seattle, his own team, because even though he was the best player, I'll contend it was Steph's team. I think Steph was the most important player on that team. But I think one in OKC would have been more higher regarded than the two in Golden State. And like you said, there obviously wouldn't be any thought of an asterisk. And had he just left this year or, you know, 2 years ago to go to Brooklyn, you know, it would have been like he's coming there kind of like Kyrie. Like nobody looks at Kyrie. Yeah, okay, they might want to say he wasn't the leader of that team. It was LeBron's team, but still, he hit the huge shot. He was the point guard, so you don't usually expect the point guard to be necessarily the main scorer and all that. So nobody looks at Kyrie, though, and shoots down his one ring.
And no, so, and especially because he had that big shot, it was a big comeback. It's hard to take that away from him. Do you know what I mean,
Chris? Oh, absolutely. Like, he was huge. They don't win that without Kyrie.
Right.
You know, simple as that. So in that regard, I do think but I think he would have been better if we're imagining had he won in OKC. But I don't know that they would have, Rob. I mean, they had their chance that year. They blew it up 3-1 on Golden State. And they always had problems with Cleveland anyway. Like LeBron dominated KD, Cleveland, OKC. I think it was 17-4 or something in regular season matchup. So I don't know that they could have beat Cleveland. I don't think they would have. So I think all things considered, we don't know that he would have won in OKC. He's better off as much as people want to, oh, it's an asterisk. Oh, it was Steph's team. Oh, you know, he didn't prove he could lead a team. He's still a two-time champion. He's got the monkey off his back. And to your point, Rob, he was the finals MVP.
Right.
And
that
so
helps.
You know, can you imagine if Kevin Durant right now, if he didn't have a title? Like, he'd be under immense pressure. So I think all of that's gone, even with the talk, all of that pressure's gone. So I think he still was better off making the move. Because even as people want to put an asterisk there, nobody disrespects his game. You know what I'm saying? Nobody disrespects that. So, but the interesting thing is, you know, this year, will it take away from many people that imaginary asterisk?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the NFL. And Tom Brady, obviously great season. They win the championship, Super Bowl number 7 for him in Tampa Bay. He was on Good Morning America this week. And he talked about what he learned in his first year away from New England. Here he is.
When you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. And I think when you go to a different place, you realize, wow, there's another way that people do things.
Some people, Rob, think that was a shot at the Patriots. I'm not so sure, but a lot of people have taken it that way. What are your thoughts on that?
I just think what he said was, when you only know one way and then you go somewhere else and you see how things operate, you just realize that things can be done differently. That I don't read too much into it. I think if he really wanted to take a shot, he could have. But I know that he doesn't want to diminish what happened in New England. You know, he won six there. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So I don't. Absolutely. There's no reason that you would try to diminish that. You know, so I just think I think that's a legit comment. I don't think there's. I don't read anything negative into it. People want to read into it as a rip or a shot. I don't see it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, there are different ways to do things. And I can understand how a Tom Brady being in New England could think, especially with that success, right? That success that we've never seen anywhere else. And so you're in New England, you're having this success that no one else has had. You got players coming in and out, and yet the success continues. You can kind of think this is how you have to do it. It just is. Like all these other teams having fun or, you know, whatever they're doing, they're not winning with this type of consistency. This is how it has to be done. And he goes to Tampa Bay and finds out there's something different. I agree with you. I think it's a legit comment. And I'm going to say this too. I think Tom Brady, like, there's no doubt, Rob, he learned a ton from being in New England. He learned a ton. I think he became, like, part of who he is as this great quarterback is what he learned in New England. And so I don't think he would ever discredit that, but I do think it got to a point, particularly the second half of that dynasty, when I think Brady was a lot of the quote-unquote Patriot way, not in terms of no fun and, you know, coaches yelling at every player the same and all that. But I mean the culture, kind of culture setter, the fact that he took the slights or the getting cussed out or whatever it was from Belichick. And that sets a tone. And we saw it with Tim Duncan in San Antonio, right? He set that tone. He was that unique type superstar who'll take that, right? You can treat me like I'm the eighth man, and I'm cool with it. And they obviously had a great run, and Pop's still a great coach, obviously, but it ain't the same, Rob. Kawhi was like, nah, not for me. LaMarcus Aldridge, not for me,
it
right?
It ain't the same, and right. I've said this before, and I'm not taking anything away from what they've accomplished, but really to solidify if you're Pop, like there is a degree of that where – you know, if you can win some with other people and other situations. I've always said this, Chris, about Bill Parcells. But I'm just saying, but it for me with Bill Parcells, he won the two Super Bowls with the Giants. That already put him in a lofty spot, right? He didn't win one. He won twice, okay, right, with two different quarterbacks. So you can't say you got lucky, you had a great quarterback, and you won two different quarterbacks. But what he did when he took over the Jets and the Cowboys, and he even got the Patriots to the Super Bowl, when I look at everywhere he went, right? The Jets were 1-15, Chris, 3 years later than in the AFC Championship game. He took the Patriots to the Super Bowl. They lost, but he took them to the Super Bowl. And right, the Cowboys were good, you know what I mean, when he got right there. They never got as far as like the Jets did, like in a championship game. But I saw everything that he touched got better. And that's what I look for. And I think sometimes, you know, you can be in one spot. You're Popovich. You had the great run. You had Duncan. You had Robinson. You know what I mean? You got Kawhi at the end. And I'm not taking it away. But once all that went away, you stop winning.
Right. Yeah, they'll be okay. They're relevant, right? They're
right, but you see what I'm saying?
I agree. And Rob, and I've always said, you know, over the last two decades or so, that – the Patriots are the Spurs of the NFL, or the Spurs are the Patriots of the NBA, however you want to call it. And you're never, just like you said about Pop, you're never going to diminish what Belichick did. I mean, he's always got his six rings. He's always going to be viewed as, if not the greatest coach in NFL history, one of them. But that same logic stands. And you've heard me say it before. He's 8 years, was this his ninth year without Brady, and he's only made the playoffs once. And I know he's a great defensive coach, and those defenses were a big part of it, But I do, Rob. I want to see. And I thought he did a good job last year.
They won seven games that with, was no, a good with job. Nobody. You got to remember.
That's the pop of it. Right. That's what Pop's doing. Oh, they're good. And, you know, for what they have, they don't have much talent. And they're pretty good. But that, can he get back and win another Super Bowl? That, I think, is the charge for Belichick. And I'm sure he feels that way. I know he doesn't. I'm not saying he feels like he's a failure if he doesn't win it without Brady. But as competitive as he is, you know he wants to win it without Brady. And I feel the same way, like you said about Pop, I feel the same way about Belichick. He's got to deliver. Because I think it's, like I said, the second half of that dynasty, a lot of that is Brady's leadership, players, you know, taking to him. Obviously, he does all the little things, intangibles on the field, off the field. And he showed that by going to Tampa and in a unique situation, winning it all. And so I do think that I want to see what Belichick can do. And, you know, it doesn't have to be this year, next year. But I want to see what he can do the rest of his career without Tom Brady, kind of like you said about Popovich. So it's interesting. But there's always different ways to win. And Jerry Jones, he hadn't found one of those ways yet, Rob. I mean, he did early on.
Jimmy Johnson, because since Jimmy Johnson's been gone, you can say whatever you want. They just haven't done anything. They've won four playoff games in 25 years, Chris. You know, when it became a mom-and-pop store, and the Joneses are running it. This is what you get.
You think he regrets getting, you know, going at odds with Jimmy Johnson and basically leading him out of there?
Probably not, because he's one of those proud men. You know what I mean? I'm going to show you. I'm going to win my way or whatever. Remember, he played college football. He was so he feels like he knows the game. It ain't like he never played football. You know what I mean? He did.
But see, that's the problem, Rob. And here's the thing. Jones would have gotten credit. Owners get credit. I mean, nobody's sitting there saying Robert Kraft is a football genius, but he gets credit.
How about George Steinbrenner with the Yankees? He got credit for their winning.
If you create a dynasty, you're as the owner, even if you just hire the right people and get the heck out of the way, you're going to get credit. And it's sad that Jones couldn't do that, Rob. And he's involved again. And I actually like this, but the talk is that, you know, he's falling in love with Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. And now he wants to trade up or might trade up to get him. I'm going to be honest, Rob. I think that'd be a good move. And I know their defense was atrocious last year, and everybody's saying they got to get defensive players. I think they have pretty good individual defensive players. I think Mike Nolan, the D coordinator last year, was horrible, and he's gone. Jim Tomsula is gone. They bring in Dan Quinn, you know, architect of the Legion of Boom, won a Super Bowl. So I think their defense will improve with Quinn putting these guys in a better position to be good. I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, the 86 Bears. But I do think they can be a good defense under Dan Quinn. And Kyle Pitts, Rob, he is the truth. From what I see, he looks like he's got it all. He's kind of a wide receiver, but he's in a tight end's body. And you know how big tight ends are now. I mean, Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce. You know, we could go on. And tight ends are important now. And so usually if you got that type of tight end, we saw it in San Francisco as well. If you got that type of tight end, he can really help your ball club. And obviously he opens it up for those receivers that they would have in Dallas and vice versa. So I actually think that'd be a good move, even if it's the brainchild of Jerry Jones, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know. I think their bugaboo is defense, and they need some more defensive players. I get it, the dream of having this high-powered offense and where we are in the NFL, but if you can't stop anybody, and you remember last year before he got hurt, Dak Prescott was putting up unbelievable numbers. It wasn't the offense, Chris. They were scoring. They couldn't stop anybody.
Rob, so that defense was one of the worst, and I tweeted this, was the worst defense I'd ever seen for the first half.
Yeah, but just, it was awful. It was, that's the part, and you would say to yourself, let's fix that. We got, let's get, and we got Ezekiel, we got Dak back. You know what I mean? We got some receivers. Who's the kid who really...
CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, was supposed to be this breakout. It didn't happen.
He was okay, but he was good.
You see what I'm saying? But so they got those pieces. I would lean towards a defensive player. That's just
me. I mean, your receiving core is set. There's no denying that. But you don't really have a good tight end, and obviously he would be that. So it would strengthen what's already a strength. I hear you, but I think it'll be interesting. We'll see. But I think this new defensive coaching staff can really help improve their defense because they got some talent there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Now, we talked about it briefly with our man Antonio Daniels. The Phoenix Suns, remember, Rob, they played really well in the bubble. They were 8-0. And, you know, they hadn't had a good regular season, but they were great in the bubble. And the question was, can they carry it on? Can they keep it going? Now, they added Chris Paul, who wasn't
was going
to
say, before you just say that was right. From the 8-0, because Chris Paul has made a big difference. A veteran guy, a point guard who's helping set up everybody else, Chris. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you could correlate what they did last year in a bubble to adding Chris Paul.
It helped. It was nice. It was cute. But getting Chris Paul was huge. They're not here, and they may not even be close to here.
Right. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Chris Paul is a difference maker. He might not have won a championship or got you to, you know, with all these teams he's been on. Because as great as he is, he's bounced around. I mean,
right? He has. That's a good point. For usually, I mean, there have been a few, but he's
been
around.
He's been on five or six teams. I mean, seriously, that's not a guy you would think of.
The Clippers, the Oklahoma City, Houston. And now Phoenix, and I may have even missed.
No,
one.
You
That's
missed
five
a team
right there.
No, you missed.
Did
another
I miss
team.
Somebody? Yeah, New Orleans, New Orleans, the Clippers,
right?
Oklahoma City, Houston after the Clippers, Oklahoma City, and then
Phoenix.
I think that's it. I'm looking it up now since you brought it up.
I don't know why. I just think there's...
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Is that it?
That's
okay.
It. Yeah, and I actually thought, Rob, there was a year, I can't remember exactly what year it was, when he was in New Orleans, I thought he had a good shot at winning MVP. Like, he was very much in the running one of those years for MVP. He hasn't done that yet, but some people, I'm not willing to go there. He might get in the top five, but some people think maybe this year. He could get MVP. And look, let's keep it real. LeBron, Joel Embiid, and probably Harden, they're missing too many games. So now you're looking at Jokic, Dame Lillard, Giannis. I mean, Chris Paul will get some votes, but I don't think he can win it. Could you see him as MVP? He's averaging 16.
If they won the division, if they won the Western Conference. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You mean if they're the one? Well, they could be the one seed.
If they're the one seed, he'd have a chance.
Some people wonder, Devin Booker's great too. But he's Chris, obviously their leading scorer.
I get it, but they weren't making this kind of move until he got there.
But he was young. I mean, they're not this good without Chris Paul. But Booker.
When you talk about going from not making the playoffs to the top of the Western Conference. With the Lakers and the Clippers and Utah, do you know what I mean? And Denver,
if they're the one seed, would you vote him over Jokic? Say Denver's four.
Yes. Denver went to the conference finals last year. I'm not knocking Jokic in the year he's having, Chris, but you're talking about the most valuable player to a team, and they went from no playoffs to the top of the Western, not the Luke. not the lukewarm Eastern Conference, and I know it's a lot better with the Nets and Philly, right. but and the Western Conference, I mean, that's a remarkable turnaround. And I don't know how many times in the history of the NBA, Chris, you went from not making the playoffs to the top of the division. It probably happened. The league's been around 75 years, so.
They beat Utah last night in what was a great game. I don't know if you saw it. But
yeah, I saw a little bit of
overtime,
that.
Overtime, yeah, terrific game. But anyway, Bonzi Wells is as excited about Chris Paul as you are. In fact, maybe even a little more. We like Bonzi.
Bonzi played in Detroit. I got to know him a little bit.
Yeah, Bonzi's a good guy. He's got the podcast with Rasheed Wallace. I was on there. They do a great job. But he said this on Sirius XM Radio. I think he went a little far. We'll see what you think.
It's not easy to win. You know what I'm saying? But you can't diminish that I was there. I competed. And that's the same thing with Chris Paul. Like, he's been there every year. He's competed. I mean, he's going to be in the record books forever. And he's a Hall of Famer to me. And he's one of the best point guards, if not going to be maybe the best point guard when he leaves this game. Who knows what his numbers, because with the assists, the steals, you know, the win shares that he's surpassed over his career. I mean, you put his numbers against anybody, it's going to be right there. So, I mean, Chris Paul has got to be on the Mount Rushmore of point guards. I don't think winning a championship should tarnish it or even make it better. I think it's just going to be a great career all around the board.
Chris, please, go ahead. You just say it, and I'll just back up.
Bonzi, stop it!
Come on.
I mean,
I get
Famer,
the praise.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, nobody. That's
who's
like
he knocking off point guard wise? Come on, man. It's a tough road, Chris. I'm
well, first
serious.
Of all, I mean, we obviously, when you say greatest point guard, I mean, stop. That's come on. But even if we go Mount Rushmore, yeah, some guys, Rob, and I really believe this, when some guys say that, not just Bonzi, they don't know how many faces are on Mount Rushmore.
No, they have no idea. They think it's 25, right, like a 25-man right. roster in baseball. It's
really?
Not that many. It's four guys on Mount Four. He's not one of the top four guards in the history of the association. And that doesn't mean he's a bum, Chris. At four spots, stretched over 100 years or whatever it's been in the NBA.
Rob, here are my four that I think are indisputable. Now, it'll be interesting because one of these guys isn't your favorite. But we'll see what you say. I've got my Mount Rushmore point
you
guard.
Already know what guy's coming off, but go ahead.
Well, but keep it real, though. Not your personal favorites, but who the Mount Rushmore is. Magic, Steph, Oscar Robertson, and Isaiah Thomas. I don't know how you argue with those four. And not now, if you want to argue, not you, but in general, if somebody wants to argue Chris Paul is five, I mean, I think he's battling Jason Kidd and John Stockton, and maybe for the old heads, they want to throw in Bob Cousy.
Jason Kidd for Chris, look at his body of work. Won a championship, went to the finals
and he was
twice
older.
With the Nets.
He was older. It
no, I know, like, but I'm just saying he's got that under his belt, but he did also take the Nets twice, back-to-back.
See, that's the thing. And they
back
weren't
to
remember,
back.
They weren't good before. And they traded for Stephon Marbury, who was a great point guard.
And he was tied rookie of the year with Grant Hill. Right. I mean, I could go through his resume. It's pretty
terrific
damn impressive.
Defender.
Yes.
So the thing, Chris, and let me say this. Because I'm with you. Like, that's a tough one. Jay Kidd or Chris Paul. Chris Paul's numbers are better when you look at his scoring, even though he's on a huge score. He's more of a scorer than Kidd. And his field goal percentage. You know, Kidd wasn't a good shooter most of his career. He became a good three-point shooter late. But Kidd may have had more, I don't know, edge. He was able to lift. Like, those Nets teams, right? I think they won 26 games the year before he got there. You talked about a worst to first, right? And he took them to the Eastern Conference finals twice.
Right.
After a horrible season. Yeah, with Kenya Martin, Kerry Kittlesky. So I think I might take him over Chris. I think I'll take Chris over Stockton. I may underrate Stockton. Some people love Stockton. I like him.
I don't think Stockton ever did anything wrong, and he is undervalued by people.
He didn't score like these guys.
But he was a really good player, Chris.
Right.
He was great.
And he was and Gary Payton says he was the toughest point guard he ever faced. So that's high praise from GP. Walt Frazier's in there. But here's the thing. Like, obviously, Isaiah Thomas has the two rings, so Chris can't touch that. But here's why I would even say, beyond the two rings, Isaiah would take over when he needed to.
We've seen it.
Right?
You should look at Isaiah Thomas's reel and watch some of the battles, Chris.
Right.
I could still remember watching him and Bernard King going at it in a playoff game.
I remember that. Would that Isaiah, when he scored 16?
Well, he scored all their last 16 points, Chris. Like, he scored
in like 90
all,
seconds, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was played. You know where it was played? At the Cobo Hall. There was some conflict. Yeah. Something happened, or the roof caved in, Chris.
They show that game on.
Yes,
on Classic.
That's a classic game. Right. And Bernard King went off at the end of that game. And Chris, the Knicks didn't lead in that game. You ready? Until the last basket that put them ahead. They never led in the game. It was either tied or they were down.
Wow.
And that was the only – the final
crazy.
Basket put them ahead for the first time in the game. They never had the lead.
That's a tough way to lose. But you're right. See, and that's the thing. Like, Chris is almost a reluctant scorer. You know what I mean? Like, he's done it before, few and far between – but he's not going to, like, Isaiah, okay, if the situation calls for me to get 37, so be it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to get 20 this half.
Whatever he
okay.
needed to do. You remember right. against the Lakers on a busted leg? Or,
that was incredible. One of the greatest individual performances ever, that quarter where he scored, what, 25, I think it was?
I thought it was, I want to say off the top of my head.
25, something like that 25. In the third quarter with the bad ankle. But, yeah, so, I mean – Rob, am I like who's your four Mount Rushmore point guards? Not you, but you know what I mean. Like, you think who are the four best? Because I know you wouldn't put Steph on your personal one, but
right. Because I would put Bob Cousy in his place. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, you got to put somebody in his place. Some people are saying why not Steve Nash? Steve Nash was obviously great in Phoenix. Well, he didn't win. So I'm not putting him above any of those four. But I think Nash, Rob. And he was great. He's a Hall of Famer. You know,
the guy
no
won back-to-back MVPs. It's
right.
hard that, but few guys like that, Chris, have won back-to-back MVPs.
No, that's why. Yeah,
I mean, that separates him a little bit.
Well, yeah, but I also think he kind of, and you can't take this away from him, but I think he benefited largely from D'Antoni's system. Like, remember on Dallas, he was kind
fault.
Of viewed. No,
you
I know.
You still got to play.
So you putting him ahead of Jay Kidd. None of these other guys won two. None of them won two MVPs. Oscar didn't win any. Isaiah didn't win any. Because they didn't. Point guards really weren't getting them, especially small ones back then.
Right.
So, I'd have to think
a little bit harder. I mean, I get your point on Steph because of what the Warriors were able to do.
Dynasty. That's what I'm saying.
You
know. Like.
But that choke job hurts me.
You
got to
admit it,
Steph.
But come on,
that's
man.
That's the one thing.
You don't want to say it, especially this week when he showed you up. But you know it. You don't disagree with my
I needed
four.
Him to have I can a bad tell. Night that game against. That's what I needed.
You man. Had the column written.
You know it was written,
You had
Chris.
The column written.
It was done.